the Organic Federation of Canada is pleased to present the Organic Science Conversations, a series of podcasts presenting the researchers of the Organic Science Cluster 3, a five-year project of 27 research activities in organic agriculture in Canada.
Bonjour, my name is Nicole Boudreau. I am pleased to interview today Dr. Sean Smuckler, Associate Professor and Chair of Agriculture and Environment at the Faculty of Land and Food Systems at the University of British Columbia. Dr. Smuckler is also the Principal Investigator of the Sustainable Agricultural Landscapes Lab, and he is the Principal Investigator of a research activity of the Organic Science Cluster 3, that is, Improving Organic Vegetable Farm Sustainability through Enhanced Nutrient Management Planning. Bonjour, Dr. Smuckler.
Bonjour. Nice to be here, Nicole.
Thank you. So, you are the PI of the Sustainable Agricultural Landscapes Lab. For many of us, a landscape is a broad and aesthetic picture of our natural surroundings. Can you explain the concept of an agricultural landscape and the role of your lab?
Yeah, so an agricultural landscape is a landscape that is producing food, fiber, and fuel, among other things. The reason that I focus on research at the landscape level is because I feel strongly that because farmers are the managers of our terrestrial landscape, that quantifying their impacts at a landscape is where we actually can see places where we can manage trade-offs between environmental, economic, and food security objectives effectively. So my lab works at the field scale, working with farmers to better understand how to manage their food production. And then we work all the way up to the landscape to quantify how those changes will impact the ecology and the economy at a broader scope.
So the landscape concept is really to look at the broad picture of the impact of farming on the environment.
Exactly. At the field scale, we might see some important differences in management, but it's not really until you scale those up to the landscape that you can quantify those differences in terms of their broader impact.
Yeah, I see. So as you said, you promote the role of farmers. I read on your webpage that on the webpage of your lab that we have created a food system where we pay farmers to provide food, but that it needs to change. We need farmers to be stewards of our global landscape. It is quite a responsibility and a great role, but also I think it is an important learning curve. A country where intensive agriculture is a huge industry, how can we make that happen? What are your first steps for reaching that goal?
Well, I think the first step is really to provide the farmers with some guidance on how to manage their systems more efficiently. I think farmers definitely value efficiency. They see efficiency as a way to produce more at lower costs. And efficiencies generally mean that we are likely to see less impacts to the environment. But really, we need to be able to quantify some of the other benefits that farmers are responsible for, some of the co-benefits of effective landscape management. We need to do that so that policymakers and consumers can really understand the burden that farmers have taken on and the responsibility that really should be shared by all of us, which is to manage these landscapes so that they're producing not just food, but the other ecosystem services that we all really need.
For now, and you seem also to be insisting for future generations, because
yes.
if farming has such an impact, now farmers should be aware of that huge responsibility. So organic fits well in your in your objective, I suppose, as it is. Objectives of organic agriculture is really to protect environment and promote that biodiversity.
Yeah, I see an alignment between the objectives of our research program and the stated objectives of organic farming here in Canada.
So what is the specific objective of your activity inside the Organic Science Cluster 3?
So we actually have three objectives. The first and probably the main objective of the project is to trial a few different alternatives to current organic management practices, better understand how those alternatives could meet the multiple objectives of organic farmers, including the environmental objectives. Our second objective is to be able to model some of the dynamics that we're observing out in the field. And the final objective is to enhance an online tool that's being designed for organic farmers to better manage their farming system.
So ideally, at the end of your activity, there would be real online tools to help farmers plan their nutrient management. That's correct?
That's correct. So the tool that we're working on is actually an app that can be either online or on your phone.
How do you proceed? You are working with many, many farmers, I believe.
Yeah, so the way that our objective one has been developed is we have two what we call mother farms where we're running controlled replicated experiments. Those are two farms on different soil types and different climatic conditions with the same treatments, the same crops being grown, and the management being mimicked as closely as possible. And then on 19 other farms around the southwest region of British Columbia, we have a subset of those treatments to better understand how they perform regionally under different soils, under different climate, compared to different management that farmers are typically using in those regions.
So it's good because when you work with farmers, knowledge transfer, I suppose it's easy. But I read in the description of your activity that phosphorus and nitrogen are critical and that it is difficult to have a timely release of P and nitrogen when the crop specifically needs it. Well, how are you addressing this problem?
Yeah, so that's one of the major challenges for organic farmers is it's really difficult to predict the availability of nutrients that are coming from the fertilization sources that they're using. So organic farmers are typically relying on cover crops or compost and manure to provide their nitrogen and phosphorus demands of their crops. Because these nutrients are tied up in either the biomass or the complexity of the manure or compost, and they're microbially made available over time, it's really challenging to predict. It's an ecological process that is really dependent on the temperature, the soil conditions.
And microorganisms.
So, yeah, it's really a biological process, and we don't have a great understanding of the various drivers of those biological processes. So one of the things that we're trying to do is get a better handle on what is it that we can predict about these fertilization sources that would give farmers a better indication of when and where their nutrients are going to be available. One of the nutrient management strategies that we are trialing is a combination of compost, which is a typical fertilization source used in our region, and a certified organic fertilizer, which has much more readily available nutrients in it, but doesn't have the same carbon input to the system as a compost might. And one of the potential trade-offs we see in terms of managing nitrogen and phosphorus with these specialty organic fertilizers that have readily available nitrogen and phosphorus is that, you're missing that carbon input, and over time, you may see a decline in soil health as those carbon inputs eventually get consumed by the soil organisms.
You're working with vegetable crops. You don't work with field crops or any other type of crops. But talking of vegetable crops, there are some diversified farms. You can grow maybe 25, 30 types of vegetable crops. Do you address specific vegetable crops, or it is a general management that you're assessing?
So yeah, we're working at the in an area where vegetable production is quite diversified, as you described. So we have experiments set up where we're working within a typical rotation at both of the mother farms. The rotation includes many different crops. Within each year, there are several crops that are being grown, and the idea is to select a crop mix that represents some differences in the nitrogen and phosphorus demands. So one of the major challenges of having a diversified field or a diversified crop is that across the field, you have various demands for nutrients. And so, you know, if a farmer's trying to optimize their nutrient applications and the labor required to manage for that, one application of compost or manure might be applied for a field of, as you suggested, up to 20 different vegetables. So that's another advantage of the combination. Well, a potential advantage of the combination of using specialty organic fertilizers with compost is that you can be much more targeted spatially for the vegetable production. That's, you have two different vegetables with very different nutrient demands in rows right next to each other. They are both our objectives. I mean, ultimately, we want to be able to optimize the organic nutrient management system so that it reduces the environmental cost while increasing or maximizing the economic benefits to the farmer. So generally that means greater yields or reduced input costs.
I read also in the summary of your activity that there are limitations with the use of cover crops, especially in BC. Why? Can you explain why in BC it's more problematic?
Well, I don't know that it's more problematic than other places in Canada, but it's certainly more problematic than other places in North America that have longer growing seasons or more temperate climates. In BC in particular, in the three regions that we're working in, they really illustrate different challenges. So in the Lower Mainland, which is just outside of Vancouver, one of the major challenges for establishing cover crops is the early fall rains, followed by we're in a location that's really important for millions of migrating waterfowl. So the waterfowl just devour the cover crops in the lower Fraser Valley. Whereas in other parts of BC, like the Pemberton Valley we're working in, they have really early winter onset. So we can see snow pretty early in the winter, and the snow, like much of Canada, stays for the duration. Whereas on Vancouver Island, it's actually the best case scenario for cover crops in terms of the three regions. And they have the best chance of really getting a cover crop established.
But cover crops, please remind me, is it to protect the soil from erosion, or is it really providing nutrients? I read different opinions about this.
Well, cover crops can do a lot of different things. So it depends on what your objective is. I think a common objective for using cover crops is to protect the soil. For some farmers, they're really trying to ensure that their cover crop captures nutrients before it leaves the system. As I said, we have rains that come early in the fall. So if there's any residual nitrate in the soil profile and we don't have a cover crop taking those nutrients up, they're pretty much leached out of the system quite rapidly because of those rains. So the one objective farmers might have with a cover crop is to capture or scavenge that those nitrates before they leave the system. Alternatively, farmers might want to be growing their own nitrogen, so using a leguminous cover crop. Yeah, they're actually able to fix nitrogen and to provide their subsequent crop, their cash crop in the summer, with that nitrogen that's fixed out of the atmosphere.
But finally, working with organic farms, if you suddenly would work on a conventional type of diversified vegetable farm, would you see different reactions? Would you observe different results?
Not necessarily. I think one of the limitations with organic conventional comparisons is that both systems have such a wide range of management practices. So for sure, we could pick two farms, one conventional, one organic, and their management could be very similar. Their soil health could be very similar. It depends on the specific management of that system. When we, go ahead.
So when your activity is completed, where will we have access to the results and online tool?
Yeah, so the results are all posted on our website, the Sustainable Agricultural Landscapes Lab. We also are trying to get as much of the results out directly to the farmer. So we've hosted a number of workshops, both on farm and in conferences, and ultimately the tool should be made available directly to farmers to download and use as they'd like. That tool, Light Farm, can be found online now. The nutrient management component is hopefully going to be completed over the next year.
Yes, because your activity is ending in 2022, I believe.
Yeah, because of COVID, we're a little behind on a few things.
Oh, I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Okay, so well, we're looking forward to see the online tool, and it will surely help vegetable growers in British Columbia. I thank you very much, Dr. Smuckler, for the interview.
No, thank you, Nicole. Have a great weekend.